This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Thursday's Week Side podcast. I'm Connor Rohr alongside Jenny Vrentis. We'll begin with a little bit of what we left off the earlier podcast this week with, because, Jenny, we just got an audience submission that was so good that I had to read it off the top of the show. And this was, if anyone remembers from our last episode, we asked all of our loyal Instagram followers for their favorite Cam Newton to New England Patriots conspiracy theory. Jenny and I are both conspiracy theory enthusiasts, as many of you know. Jenny just finished Oliver Stone's JFK for just a little bit of a window into our mindset. That's a true story, right? I'm not
lying. That's true. Very true. It's rare that I've watched a movie, but I really got into it.
Yeah. So we put the call out for the best Cam Newton to Patriots conspiracy theory. We got a lot of good submissions that we read on the show, but one that we got after recording that was so good that I just have to lead off this week's episode with it. So I just want to thank Heidi _ Wynn, this is phenomenal. And I replied, oh, hell yeah, from the MMQB account. This is how good it was. So without further ado, Heidi Wynn says that Cam Newton going to the Patriots to finish out his illustrious career was a reward from the NFL for laying down to Peyton Manning in the 2015 Super Bowl and allowing him to escape with his second ring, tying a bow on the Peyton, Eli, both rings, Hall of Fame, yada, yada. Jenny, this was just, I mean, it touched so many buttons for me that it was just, it was perfect. I can't believe I didn't think of it, to be honest.
It sounds like something that came out of your brain. To be honest with you, when you first texted about it, I thought that you just had written it, because kind of, you know, the text sometimes read out of order on your screen, or earliest to last, so you see the last ones first. And then when you said it was a reader submission, I was like, does this person live in your brain? It was very disorienting, I have to say, because this is exactly up your alley. Conspiracy theory somehow involving Peyton Manning and these other forces outside of our understanding. I mean, it was just, it hit on a lot of levels, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I love about the Weak Side podcast community. They are, we're cultivating a, I don't know, we're cultivating a group of people that, I don't want to say like-minded, because I don't think that we're like-minded, but I don't know.
A niche we're, audience?
A niche audience, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, people that are really fitting in here. So way to go, Heidi. That was awesome. Thank you again to everybody who submitted answers. We've got a great user submission for the end of this show that we're going to get to a little bit later on. But let's hop, Jenny, right into the news of the week. And news topic number one is earlier this week, Ron Rivera, the head coach there in Washington, defended the team's football mascot by saying, hey, this is what it's always been. It was this way when I was playing. It was this way when I was growing up. That response drew a little bit of criticism from longtime NFL coach Tony Dungy, who recently told ESPN's The Undefeated that it is not that hard to change a name. Mm-hmm. As everyone knows, we're in this moment of societal reckoning. There are monuments coming down. There are names of things being changed. Washington has participated in various aspects of this social justice movement, but it renders sort of like a little bit of a false sense of caring when your name is racist on its head. So I'm curious, do you think that anything comes of this, or do you think Daniel Snyder is just bracing for the storm and hopes that he can weather it okay?
You know, I think now really is the easiest time that Snyder would ever have to change the name Connor. Mm-hmm. There is such a momentum to change so many things in our country that have long been accepted despite being racism or despite being racist. You know, we've seen monuments coming down that we just assumed no one would ever push for them to come down. We've seen, you know, schools and colleges at universities be renamed. You know, Woodrow Wilson and John Calhoun are names that have come off prominent institutions at universities. And so now would be the time when Snyder could say, yes, I'm going to change the name, and it would be beneficial for him to do so. I mean, that's what's kind of wild now, is like for a long time we've said, well, he won't do it unless he's there are financial motivations, and he won't do it until it affects him in the pocketbook. And I think now is a time when it could be in his favor to change the name. And so if he continues to dig in his heels, then it's just really like not a lot to say. And I think it would get to the point where some players would not want to play for him, or they would lose fan support, or they could lose some of the sponsors that really oppose that decision making. I don't know, Connor. It just feels like for him to continue to dig his heels in this moment is not just wrong, but it's also idiotic.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I went to a school that changed its name twice. It's nicknamed twice. Syracuse was originally the Saltine Warriors before they were the Orange Men, and now they are the Orange. And I don't remember anybody really having that hard of a time about it. St. John's used to be another name before they changed to the Red Storm. And I don't think that affected in any way, shape, or form the historic nature of that program. And I wonder if it's a little bit like, you know, I think that at some point, you're going to end up losing more than you gain by this. And, you know, I think that maybe the president is a good example. People have said that he has tried so hard to pacify his hardcore fan base that you end up kind of distancing yourself from the rest of America, you know, and maybe a majority percentage of football fans or people who are going to go to games and stuff like that. And I think that this is a great time for Daniel Snyder to at least explore it. I mean, you know, it's like, what does it hurt to bring in, you know, a branding group, take some specs, look at some new uniforms? I mean, you have a potential to, you know, create an entirely new identity with a classic big city franchise. And I think that that should be energizing for someone, you know, and it could rewrite a little bit of his own narrative as an owner, which has been spotty at best so far, I would say.
Yeah, I think someone mentioned to me that the fan site Hogshaven was coming up with different shirts with different mascots on it. And so I think the fan base is certainly ready for a change. Everyone's ready to embrace a new chapter and try to have a more accurate representation of our country's history for what it is. I think it'll be interesting to see the stance that the league takes on it. In the past, they've said it's up to Washington, it's up to Snyder, we can't put any pressure on them. But will Goodell get more involved? Will local government figures get more involved with things like stadium funding or whatever influence they could exert over the team? And so I'm interested to see how that plays out. But this certainly was a chance where the newly hired head coach could have taken a stand against it. And I thought it was notable and, if I'm being honest, disappointing that he did not.
Yeah. I mean, we're at the point now where the Mississippi state flag is being changed. You know what I mean? Like, this is a state flag. On the other hand, Washington is a football franchise that has existed for, you know, a quarter of that time. And while every NFL team believes that they're the most important thing in the world, does not have nearly the longevity of, you know, the Mississippi state flag or a statue of a Confederate general or anything like that. And these things, it moves on. Time moves on. Things change. And, you know, I just think, A, you're in Washington, D.C., and if you want to capitalize on this, you know, I don't know, groundswell of patriotism, there's no better set of nicknames to explore than the ones that are sitting in the nation's capital that could have something to do with America or, you know, our nation or anything like that. But it, I don't know. I just feel like, A, it's disappointing that they just seem to be hiding and saying, go away, go away, go away, don't pay attention to us. But B, I don't know. I think it's a missed opportunity business-wise, too. And this is not the way we're supposed to think about it, but it's just the way that they think about it. And, you know, it's just surprising to me that that thought has not crossed their mind, I guess.
I agree, Connor. I think that's really well said. I mean, you hope that people do things for other than business reasons, but the reality is business reasons and money are generally the driving force in American culture. And I think this is a missed business opportunity as well. So that's another factor that we should consider moving forward. But there have been no indications that he's willing to budge. I hope we're wrong on that.
Me too. I'm going to introduce the second news topic because I want you to read the next two news topics, mostly because, and you'll see why in a second, but news topic number two, Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones made one thing clear. He will not play without a long-term deal this year, citing Le'Veon Bell as a mentor. And I wanted to introduce this because Jenny is our resident Le'Veon Bell expert, wrote an excellent cover story on Le'Veon Bell last year when he signed with the Jets, and it was the interview with Bell that explained everything that was going on, the entire process. So we have the holdout expert on this podcast, Jenny Vrenta. So what is Chris Jones getting into, and is this you know, I don't know, based on your experience with Le'Veon Bell, is this a worthwhile experience for someone to try to go through to stand their ground?
I was really surprised to see his tweet, Connor. It was kind of one of those where you're scrolling through, and I did a double take, and I clicked on it to make sure it was actually a verified account. I was just surprised to see that kind of like reply that said something as big as it did and just like a casual reply to a random tweet on Twitter. I don't know. That kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I don't know that Bell's path was a smooth one. I mean, it was definitely bumpy. You know, that first year he played on the franchise tag, and then the second year they made a deal, a long-term deal offer that was better than they'd offered 1 year before, and he almost signed it, and then he decided not to. And he didn't really have a concrete plan heading into that year. I remember he said he first planned to show up after week one, then his target shifted to the week seven bye. And then there were other factors that he said at the time the Steelers wouldn't assure his agent that they wouldn't trade him or use the transition tag on him for the following season. And he thought he was going to still go back to play, and then he decided not to. And so I don't think things exactly worked out the way that he wanted them to. You know, we met with him in Miami right after he signed his Jets deal, and, you know, he said he got the guaranteed money that he wanted, that that was more important for him. He also detailed, important factor here too, Connor, is that there were other reasons, he said, besides the money. You know, I think he felt he had a kind of a fracturing relationship with Ben Roethlisberger, which he cited as one factor, and he was kind of looking for a fresh start. And I don't know if those are factors for Chris Jones. I mean, it doesn't seem like that is. I mean, it seems like this is just a kind of a solely the contract situation. And I certainly understand his stance, and I'm always in favor of players pushing to get as much money as they can and to get the contract that they deserve, since they have such a small window for earnings. But going the route that Bell did is a bumpy one, and it might not work out the way that you want it to. I think one difference here is the positions that they play, right? Mm-hmm. Chris Jones is somebody that you would give a long-term contract to because he plays a position that can be a cornerstone piece of your team, whereas generally in today's NFL, running back isn't looked at as that necessarily. If you give a second contract to a running back, a second big contract, it's a big risk. And I think the Steelers were willing to give him a long-term second deal, but he obviously wanted a different number than they were willing to give.
I wonder what your favorite, you know, in reporting out all the Bell stuff, what was the one thing maybe from Le'Veon's perspective that caught you by surprise, if anything caught you by surprise, and just something that was maybe a little bit eye-opening to you? And for as long as you've covered the business side of the NFL, I don't know, anything that sort of stood out as like, that is something that I never would have expected.
Well, I think what stood out to me was that, one, that he almost signed the deal with the Steelers that in the summer, that he was this close, he said, to signing it, and that certainly others around him wanted him to sign that deal. And I think the other one was that his plan for the holdout was a little bit of a moving target. And I think, you know, him being open about that was helpful to hear, because if you choose to sit out for a season, that's a difficult decision. And you know, I think he was kind of not sure how long he would be able to do that, how long he would be okay staying away from the game that he loved. And I think there's obviously a lot of factors that shift. You know, then there ended up being a little bit of a back and forth. You know, I know some of his teammates expressed their frustrations that he wasn't in the locker room, and then there was certain other factors that changed, including, you know, the team said it wouldn't trade him. And then you get to a certain point in the season where they could use the transition tag, and the money wouldn't, there were some money calculations that didn't work out after a certain point in the year. So, but I think you hear, oh, player sits out the whole season, you think they have this master plan. And it was just a very human look, I think, at it, mm-hmm. in that he was pushed and pulled in a lot of different ways, which I think most of us could relate to.
Yeah.
If anyone... I mean, not holding out for a large contract. I've never held out for millions, but you know, just the general situation of being conflicted.
I would say that I've held out for you know, Jenny and I used to work on the seventh floor of the I don't know, whatever you call it. I forget what our building is called, but we always had the restocked M&Ms, and I remember that there was
Brookfield
a period of time when the M&Ms were not being restocked, and I would go into the office on Tuesdays looking forward to it, and I would say, yeah, you know what, I don't know how much work's going to get done without my favorite dark chocolate M&Ms. Turns out, healthy life choice to end up kind of circumnavigating that and not eating the M&Ms, but, you know, that's a story for another day.
I mean, I have not eaten M&M's since our last day in the office.
I haven't either.
I think it was early March. And I feel like this has been a positive life development. So if I never see another M&M again, I think I'll be in good shape. But so, you know, M&M's, what did Bell get? $25 million fully guaranteed, which was a record for the position. Similar items here, Connor.
So we're in the clear and on the good side of Shaper Mint, the women's shapewear for a possible sponsor. M&M's on the other side. gonna get banged by the chocolate giant. You know, we'll take that as we come. All right, what do we have for news topic number three?
All right, AJ Bouye recently told SiriusXM that he'd never seen anything like what happened in Jacksonville, from fights in the locker room to players failing to get along with coaches to people trying to jettison their way out of town. Is it possible we may have underplayed just how dysfunctional the Jaguars team was? Oh, I know why you gave me this news
sharp
topic.
Words from the classic Jaguars critic, Jenny Vrentis. My God. Jeez.
Really set me up. The script writer really set me up for the record there.
That was good. I do. I mean, you know, I think that with the perspective of time, we might look back and say, holy crap, how did this team come within a few plays of the Super Bowl? You know, that's a really crazy thing to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it has been pretty eye-opening looking back, but I think we also expected that there probably was a lot more to the story, just seeing the way that things disintegrated so quickly. You figure that there probably was a lot bubbling underneath the surface. It is interesting in other cities like Jacksonville, where like the media traffic is lower and the national attention is a lot lower. It's different than like something in New York. Like, I just can't imagine a fight in the locker room being kept under wraps for like more than a couple days on a team in like the New York market. Can you, Connor?
Oh my God. If that happened, I mean, just think about all the things. Let's take a minute to brainstorm all of the minutiae that ended up becoming an insanely large scale story in the New York market. You know, off the top of my head, I'm thinking about a boat trip with friends that ended up becoming an issue. That I remember Amari Stoudemire, right, punched a fire hydrant or a fire extinguisher, something or other.
OC Umeniora left practice early once after a little bit of a disagreement with Bill Sheridan, the new defensive coordinator. But that only lasted a couple hours.
Odell Beckham wasn't practicing for a while with a hamstring injury as a rookie, and Tom Coughlin was upset. That was like 2 weeks of New York Post back pages. Let me think. There's got to be a good one from our Jets time that was like, my God, why are we even talking about this?
Yeah, I know. We generally have a Jets story to plug at every opportunity, so it's a little surprising that we're coming up a little empty right now, Connor.
Yeah, something will come to us by the end of the show. But yeah, interesting, and a call maybe to put out to all you prospective documentary filmmakers that it's time to dig in to the Jaguars, and we need to find out what's really going on.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
All right. This next one is, if not completely self-serving, a little bit fun to talk about. So I think, I don't know. What do we have for number 4?
All right. The Sports Illustrated Fantasy Football issue is on newsstands now with a cover story by our very own Connor Orr. This is very exciting. On the future prospects of Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. We wonder what is on the mind of almost all fantasy footballers hoping to win a repeat title. Can Lamar Jackson do it again?
I turned the question around and I said that Lamar Jackson last year showed everybody that he can do it. And I think that we should not be thinking about it that way, even though we will, right? And I think the way that we should be thinking about it is, can the Ravens coaching staff continue to evolve the scheme to the point where Lamar Jackson can play up to his ability? I think that that is the question that is facing Baltimore and any other team, the Chiefs, any other team that has achieved great success with a quarterback and then is battling that tendency to become stagnant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's interesting, of course, because this offseason has been strange, but Lamar Jackson had a group of receivers down in the South Florida area, Fort Lauderdale, I believe, and they worked out on the things that you would think he'd be looking to make gains in this year. So throws outside the numbers, making sure to use his whole body and not using just his arm on those. Also the deep ball. And I think one interesting thing will be to see Marquise Brown was not fully healthy last year. So I feel like the deep connections between him and Lamar Jackson will be another area in which the offense could take another fruitful area, I guess, to take a step forward this season as well. So I think that's a smart way to look at it, Connor. I think people should check out your cover story.
Last year when John Harbaugh had, Paul Johnson come in from Navy, and, I think that was the sort of the point where everything went to a boil. I mean, there's a lot of smart things going on in their front office that obviously you covered wonderfully too in a story that you did as well. And just like some ideas that like they were coming up with that nobody was thinking of at the time. And I think it was all this energy and momentum that was running downhill to the point where it set up Lamar Jackson to be successful. But I just hate the idea that, maybe he's not going to score as many touchdowns as he did last year, and we all just say, well, the NFL caught up to him and figured him out. They didn't figure him out. They figured out the plays that were being called for him. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it's always such a backwards way of looking at things.
Yeah. I would also say the biggest hurdle to Lamar Jackson doing it again in 2020 is there being a full football season in 2020.
<That's true.
laughs> So will you have a fantasy team in 2020? TBD.
I had Lamar Jackson on my fantasy football team this year, last year in the league that Jenny and I were in. And yes, I did win the league, which was a very nice and fun thing to have happen. But if anybody looks back, the general manager of my team, my wife, will quickly point out to anyone that I did not start Lamar Jackson until week 6 of the fantasy football season. Some other quarterbacks I started instead of Lamar Jackson, week 1, Kirk Cousins. That was over Lamar Jackson, which was a major regret of mine. So, you know what? We're not perfect, and I'm not going to say that I'm clairvoyant enough to predict the future here, but I don't know. I like Lamar Jackson's prospects in 2020 because I like the offensive staff in Baltimore, and I think they're creative. So who knows?
You were not using the talent that you had on your roster effectively the first 6 weeks of the season.
I was not.
Last year was my great auto draft fail, and I forgot about the draft until round 7, I think. So I did not underestimate Lamar Jackson's talent, but the Yahoo auto draft system may have. So,
That's a safe one to blame.
I just got to get that out there. So
I agree. And you know what? I am terrified of the prospects of you storming back into the league this year with your full drafting capabilities at hand. That is very intimidating. You know, I liked it better when I was just on your staff as a quality control assistant.
You said there's only like 4 people in our league who really kind of make outside the box picks, you and I, and there's 2 others. And so with me out of the mix, there were only 3 who were kind of making out of the box picks for the first 6 rounds. And then by the time I entered in round 7 or whatever it was, it's kind of over it because I had missed the 6 most important rounds. So although, listen, you can get sleepers anywhere in the draft, Connor. So I was probably looking at it wrong.
Very true.
Need to stay in the mental game a little bit. Okay, last topic, Connor.
Let's do it. Later this week, Sports Illustrated will publish our list of the 10 biggest what-ifs of the last 10 years in the NFL. Before you and I get to it, I'll read a few from our Instagram page. The first one, which I just got a chuckle out of, was what if the Browns didn't suck, which not really on prompt, Christina H. Renz, but still very funny. I would say Drew Brees to Miami. That doesn't really fit into the 10-year window. And the Niners drafting Aaron Rodgers, that doesn't fit into the 10-year window. What if Andrew Luck had never retired and Bill Polian had never retired from the Colts, which I think is an interesting one. What if the refs ruled Jericho Cotchery's drop in the Panthers' first drive of Super Bowl 50 a catch? Another interesting one, a little bit deep there on that one, probably a Panthers fan just emerging from there. What if the Patriots would get punished accordingly for all of their cheating? And what if the Seahawks ran that damn football? So a lot of good what ifs there, but I don't know. What's your favorite one that just kind of keeps you up at night thinking about sometimes?
This was one that I pitched for the What If issue a couple of years ago, but I think former editor Jack Dickey ended up writing it for the issue. But what if Donald Trump actually bought the Buffalo Bills in 2014?
There wouldn't be a Bills, right? That would be a safe assessment, right? It would have been like a Trump water or Trump steaks or Trump magazine, right?
Yeah.
Can you run a franchise into insolvency? Is that possible?
Good question.
The Raiders are making a run for it. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I mean, I don't know. What was, when you thought of that, like, I don't know, where did your thought process go there? That would have been fascinating. I mean, the world would be different.
Well, I think that's the thing, right, is not only how does it play out with the Bills and do they move, et cetera, et cetera. But that's all, you know, that's all paltry compared to the bigger questions of, does he then not end up as president?
Yeah, I think that would be that's definitely one worth revisiting. You know, you can't blame Buffalo for everything, but you know, come on, guys, why didn't you just give him a football team? And then I think everything, you know, would have been okay. Just kidding. So one of the ones that legitimately does keep me up at night consistently, as big of a Chip Kelly truther as I am, is what if the Titans had taken the trade for Marcus Mariota? Chip Kelly, remember that year, was desperately trying to get up to number 2. Jameis Winston was going at number 1. Kelly had coached Mariota at Oregon. He was creating this entire offense for Marcus Mariota. I don't know. He would have gotten more time, I think, in Philly. Doug Peterson would have never gone there and won that Super Bowl, developed that relationship with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. I like that one a lot. I don't know. That's one of my favorite what-ifs.
That's a fun one to game out, because that was really intriguing at the time, just the possibility of that happening. So that's another good one, Connor.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. And I like to imagine a world where you know, if you subscribe to the parallel universe theory, that there is a, you know, Chip Kelly, Belichickian NFL thread where he's won like 31 straight Super Bowls and is constantly on the cutting edge of sports science. You know, that's the world I want to live in right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Breeze Miami one is another good one because does it change Saban's trajectory in the NFL? And, you know, would he and Belichick have stayed in the same division? And how would that have affected each of their careers rather than each of them becoming the greatest coach on these parallel tracks, right? So
another great Jenny Vrentis story, by the way, on the relationship between Belichick and Saban, which everyone should check out. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that if you want, a great way to get in touch with us is through our MMQB Instagram. Before shows, we are posting some fun things. You know, we want to hear your feedback. It's a long summer, but we're going to get through it with all of you together. And if not, messages at weeksidepod@gmail.com. That's weeksidepod@gmail.com. So, all right, we're going to go into the last little portion of the show with a fun little Oracle prediction. And I don't know. I think that I went back and I was rereading a lot of, I was rereading our fantasy football issue. I was rereading my own predictions. And I think that my prediction is that I'm a little embarrassed that I assumed that Miles Sanders was outside of the radar. So I will now make a formal prediction that Miles Sanders will be a top five rushing back in 2020 should we have a full-time season. And I will also apologize formally for, in that fantasy football issue, me saying that he was an under-the-radar talent when in reality you're probably not going to be able to draft him past the second round. So my apologies to Miles Sanders. I think you're going to have a great season in 2020.
Okay, what spurred that? Just a little bit of feedback?
Yeah, I would say feedback's a really nice word for it. Yeah, and rereading the issue, and you know, there are a lot of people who do this for a living, fantasy football, and some of the people that I really respect, and seeing how high he was on a lot of their ADP is what they call it, average draft position. I was like, whoa. So I think it was a little bit of a mistake on my part to advise our readers of the Sports Illustrated Fantasy Football issue that this is a guy you might be able to achieve some value from, because I don't think he's going to be available much past the second round. So,
all right.
Yeah, I think that was that's a solid prediction.
Fellow Penn Stater, always a good topic of discussion, a Penn Stater.
Absolutely.
All right, so Vrentis consensus time. So this latest report that the teams are thinking about going to and from road games the same day. Connor, this sounds like a bad idea to me.
Yeah. If anything, you should do it the other way, right? Like, wouldn't you want to wait to see at least like a little bit of time to see if anyone becomes symptomatic where you already are before then bussing them immediately back home as unknown carriers and letting them come in contact with their family and restaurants and people and all that kind of stuff? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure it makes a huge difference either way, because I feel like there's just so many unknown variables. I just think, man, that seems like a lot of a physical toll to put on someone. I don't know. Traveling always takes it out of you anyway, so I just can't imagine making the flights to and from and then also playing a four-hour football game, which I have no idea what that feels like. I mean, we know players get on the planes right after games anyway, and you know that sometimes creates issues if you're injured or for swelling and all those things. So I guess that's all the same, but just feels like a lot to cram into one day, and it seems like it would increase the home field advantage. Now I get the point of, you know, logistically, the complications of staying in hotels and being exposed over extra time because of that. But the fact that this is coming up now, that doesn't seem like a great idea, just reinforces the fact that there's just a lot about playing a football season in a pandemic that has not really been vetted out. So,
yeah,
I guess the consensus here is just, you know, just wear a mask and hope things are sometimes are under control at some point soon.
What's your mask? What's your mask style like right now? Like, what do you? What do you?
Oh, mine are just like, I have this like a typical New Yorker. I just have a black. I have a black mask. I have one that I pop a filter in or whatever cloth mask that I put a filter in. How about you, Connor?
So my big ups to my wife's place of business, who sent us home with some N95s, which was very nice. So we each have one of those that we clean regularly. We have, when we're looking to sort of have a little bit of a sleeker style, there are black ones that we've made out of like t-shirt material. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where I stand on the vanity mask experience. I'm definitely learning a lot about myself based on the content of the targeted Instagram ads that I receive. But one that nailed it on the head was a Grateful Dead tie-dye mask that I could wash and wear out. I wear a lot of tie-dye in addition to camo, a lot of complicated patterns that just don't go well with anything. But I was like, you know, should I go there? Am I ready for a vanity mask? Am I ready for a vanity mask experience, or am I against that? You know, I haven't decided yet whether I'm pro or anti vanity mask.
Okay, I don't think there's any reason to be anti vanity mask.
No, I think it's a fun spin on, you know, a difficult situation, right?
Yeah, I agree. I like it. I think you should go for it. You could treat yourself, Connor.
Yeah, we all need to take care of ourselves during this time, you know? I think that's most important.
All right. Well, thanks for writing up the topics, Connor, as usual. It was a good slate on tap. And hopefully we continue to get mail from our great and loyal listeners. We appreciate everyone joining us on this week's episode of the Weekside Podcast. The podcast is me, Jenny Vrentis, and Connor Orr. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. Ben Eagle is director of editorial projects and product. Mark Moravik is emeritus executive director of the MMQB. Keep up with our entire lineup of podcasts 5 days a week by subscribing to the MMQB NFL podcast for free on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, please do us a favor and leave a rating and review. It really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Radio.com, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA. way.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.